B-Pod Studios.
It's Friday. It's a football Friday, sort of, because next week we're preparing for the NFL draft and what the Eagles may do. And they made some news this week when the triumvirate, the brain trust, the general manager, the head personnel guy, and, of course, our favorite head coach, met to media this week. And for more on that and where the Eagles might be heading in this particular draft, let's bring in the great number 36. He is Brian Westbrook, also brought to us by Landis Block. Hello, Brian Westbrook.
Good afternoon, Mikey. Miss, how you doing, my friend?
We're doing good, and you know, a lot of Eagles stuff happened this week, and I know you were paying attention to it.
Oh yeah.
So let's talk about, first of all, they came out and they met with the media. Did you get any indication on what direction they might be going in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that we found out exactly where they were going to be going in the draft. I think that we got a glimpse into what Howie Roseman thinks. He thinks that, you know, stockpiling picks for the ability to potentially move up to do something different, that may be there. And I had to believe that, and I kind of believed it at the time, that they were trying to stockpile picks for the potential of, you know, maybe Seattle actually wants to get rid of Russell Wilson. Maybe the Texans and Deshaun Watson trade could potentially work out. And so he wanted to have that ability to move up and be able to do that opportunity arose. And at the same time, he wanted to be able to fill out his roster. He understood that, you know, this team needs a lot for this thing to work out in the next couple of years. And I think that was his thought process through the entire trading back type of thing and gathering more picks.
Well, let me ask you, let's take care of this first, because he's got some draft capital. Do you think that in case he could move up in this draft? And why would he do that if he did?
Well, again, if you go back to the reasoning that he moved back for the potential of trading for Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson, right?
Mm-hmm. Just
if that potential was in place at the time that he moved back, then now he's saying, okay, well, that's not an option at this point anymore. Now we can move up and try to get back to a place where we can get the guy that we can use right away. That would be the only thought process that I would have into thinking it's time to move back up. But, you know, for me, I think they stay at 12. They're still able to get a guy that they want, and they'll still have 3 first-round draft picks, hopefully, when you talk about 2022.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that strategy. But like, this quarterback thing, if we flesh it out a little more, are you suggesting that they would have no interest in moving up to take a quarterback? They really didn't really endorse Hurts in this whole thing.
No, they didn't.
So, like 7 or 8, say, to get into a position where the first 3 guys, the 4th quarterback is there, whoever that is.
It doesn't seem like they felt as strong about that guy. I mean, whether that's Mac Jones, whether that's Trey Lance or Justin Fields. I mean, Trey Lance, big-time talent, we understand that. Potential, we understand that. But I don't think that they want to go and move back up for potential. They want to move back up for a guy that they think can start right away. They have potential in the guy that they have on their team right now, in Jalen Hurts. So I would think that they, at this point, they wouldn't move back up to take a quarterback if that's what they were planning to do.
Okay. You heard the press conference, and it seemed like the football guy was the guy who was kind of like on the side. And the head coach spoke a lot enthusiastically, and the general manager, the first thing he did was come out and say, well, we love our scouts and we're respecting our scouts, because the story was out that he doesn't respect the scouts at all, that he has his own board, Lurie has his own board, and whatever the scouts say, that's not what they do anyway. So did you see any kind of transparency in that?
Well, it just seemed like, I think Howie, as a person, has tried to evolve. And I got to give him a little credit to this, that, you know, he before Chip kind of pushed him away, he saw what was going on. And then that time that he was away while Chip was kind of in charge of things, he understood. He got some feedback to the type of how people felt about him. And I think he's tried to change. And it takes a big man to say, okay, maybe I'm doing something wrong. I'm going to try to do something totally different. I think over that course of time that Howie's back in control, that he hasn't quite accomplished that. And there's still some questions about who's in charge as far as, and this is important, as far as the scouting side. Why wouldn't you allow your scouts that have seen 3rd round, 4th round, 5th round picks all season long, and that have watched these guys for games and seen their stats and seen them get better? Why wouldn't you trust them, especially in those rounds? Those are the rounds that you get the meat of your football team. It's much easier to pick guys in the first and second round, but we've missed on those guys as well. So to me, it just looked like Howie was trying to show that they do have a strong scouting program, which is exactly what Jeffrey Lurie said in his press conference a couple months ago. He believes in the team that Howie has assembled, and now they have to go out there and do it. I thought it was weird that they would even bring Andy Wydell, who, again, he's a Villanova guy, so I like Andy a bunch. I thought it was weird that they would bring him into this press conference and completely unnecessary. They've never done it before. I don't know that would have been the time to do it at this point.
Well, I think, and this is what I'm getting to, I think they needed to show people, because of that story that tainted them, they needed to show people, well, look, we got this. Here's our football guy right here. We trust him implicitly. And you know, we love our scouts and blah, blah, blah. I think that was just a counter move to get the, like, it's a PR thing to kind of, no, that story. I know everybody read that story. We're not dysfunctional. We operate the way everybody else does. We trust our scouts and the whole bit. That's what I think it was. But, you know, you and I look at it, fans look at it, and we see a weird dynamic. Hey, let's face it. They run their front office like unlike a lot of teams that are frankly successful, and I think it worries the fan base. What do you see as their dynamic right now with owner, general manager, whoever they has down the line? How do they operate?
Well, it seems to me that that Jeffrey Lurie believes completely in Howie Roseman. He believes everything that Howie Roseman has sold, everything that Howie Roseman is about, the team that Howie Roseman has assembled. Now, that team answers directly to Howie. He takes in all the information and then makes his own choices. And I think a lot of those choices, from the looks of it, have been made without some of the information from the scouting side, because if it wasn't the case, then you have Justin Jefferson on this football team. All the scouts, from the reports and everything that I've heard from inside the building, said that they wanted Justin Jefferson instead of Jalen Reagor at that point. And so I think that at this point they're trying to figure out how to make it more streamlined. I think that if I'm Jeffrey Lurie, and I'm sure he had this conversation, that he would be saying, okay, Howie, we have to pay attention to what the scouts are saying. We have to pay attention to what the team is saying, or we're going to be back in the same situation. And we've questioned the draft. We questioned how good the players were that we have been drafting. If you're Jeffrey Lurie, you fired the head coach, you got rid of your quarterback, you're now on the hook for $34 million of dead money on your cap. You have to have that conversation with Howie Roseman. To me, if you don't, then he's not the type of owner that I thought he was, and it's hard for me to believe that.
All right, let's talk about the coach, because it's clear that this coach is so enthusiastic about having an NFL job that this is the type of guy that appeals to them, where they can kind of still be in control. Now, I don't know how that's going to play out, but that's, frankly, to be honest, is the first impression that we get with Nick Sirianni. Now, one of the things I talked about last week, and I've covered sports for a really long time. I've gotten to know people that have played the sports, like yourself. I've been inside locker rooms. I see how pro players react to certain things. This guy came off like some... lower level college enthusiastic, rah rah, happy horse bleep type of guy. Now, a lot of people think that's refreshing. So, what do you think? What was your impression of hearing Sirianni now for the third time?
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
You know, it felt gimmicky to me, to the point where you're like, ah, that may work for a couple of days. That rah-rah type of stuff will work for a couple of days. Then after that, that kind of goes away, and now you have to be able to coach football. It also seemed like a coach, and which he is, he's still trying to find his way. He's still trying to find how he wants to coach. Does he want to be a stern coach? Does he want to be one of these players' coaches? Does he want to be this rah-rah guy and then kind of scale it back? He's trying to figure things out. And I think really in all professions, you go through a period of what you're trying to figure out exactly what you want to be. And we're watching it live right now. And I think as a fan, as a guy that loves this team, loves this organization, loves our city, I kind of wanted a coach that already knew who he was. I kind of wanted a coach that would say, okay, I'm this way. I'm a disciplinarian. This is the way I'm going to do things. Not a guy that's kind of figuring it out on the job. And that's probably the thing that I took out most from the press conference, that Nick Sirianni is still figuring things out. And that concerns me, because to me that spells a lot of losses on the way until he hopefully figures things out. And that's a concern for me as well as a fan base when you talk about the head coach.
That's a very nice way and diplomatic way of saying what you saw in Sirianni. So I want to go to this, because now Brian Westbrook
hold on. But don't you think we owe it to him at least?
Yeah, no question. We owe it to him to see how he can coach. I'm just talking about the initial reaction on what we think works and what seems odd and at a pro level. Now, the young Brian Westbrook comes into the league fresh off of Villanova. That may play with the young Brian Westbrook. When Brian Westbrook gets to be a veteran player, gets to know the landscape of pro football, and he comes to the center, and he's presented with that, I'd never seen it. And I just wonder how you might think veteran players would respond to that.
Well, let me explain the difference. The young Brian Westbrook goes in there, and whatever the coach is saying, we're going to do, not question it. And I'm just happy to have a job.
Right.
The veteran Brian Westbrook is saying, all right, this ain't how you're going to win games. I know I've been around the league long enough to know that this won't be able to be sustained for a long period of time. And here's the other big question that I had, and, you know, from a veteran standpoint. Yeah, all that sounds good, rah, 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 this, that, and the other. Until you lose the first game, until you lose the second game.
Yeah.
And now, as a vet, you're starting to question everything you see that man do. And as much as you want to kind of give him the benefit of the doubt, especially as a new coach coming in, as a young coach, when you lose a couple games, now the vets who have already kind of looked at him side-eye because some of this, the interaction with him and some of the rah-rah stuff, now I'm saying, okay, I don't buy any of it, and I can't buy anything that he's saying.
So unless they win, consistently early, it could be a problem.
Oh no, there's no doubt about it. And you know, one of the things I said, this is months ago now, that this team is going to have to turn over. They're going to have to get a lot of younger guys, and they're going to have to get big time buy in from the vets. That means Fletcher Cox. That means Brandon Graham. That means the older guys on this team are going to have to, Lane Johnson, you know, Jason Kelsey. They're going to have to get behind this coach and hold all those young guys, the other people on the team, accountable. But also, like, hey, man, we got to, you know, continue to push these guys. Because if those guys start to not believe in the head coach and everything that he's saying, this thing could get ugly pretty quickly.
All right. I was bewildered by it, frankly. And I know, like, people are down on me. Enthusiasm is refreshing. And I don't really think they see the reality that pro players are different than college players. And so here's where I take it. He comes in for the interview, and he's that. That's what he is. Now, if he's coming in and I'm the owner, and I own, I want him to sell magazine subscriptions door to door, and of course, these days they'd be digital, I send the dude out. Yo, go get him, right? Now, if I'm owning a football team, I go, wait a minute. I got, like, seasoned veteran players. They've been through this. They've been through college. They've been through the high school thing with rah-rah coaches. You know, these are men now. They get a paycheck. I don't know that that would work. So that was what stopped me in my tracks. Now, am I wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong. I think the other part that I'm listening to as I'm watching that press conference is, I wonder what part of this, and I don't want to call it an act, but I wonder what part of everything that Nick Sirianni had going on in that press conference was Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman happy to see. Like, when they saw that, they were like, yes, perfect. This is the thing we've been looking for. I'm wondering what part of that they had been searching for in the head coach. And if you're telling me that you're looking for a guy that has excitement, it's hard for me to believe that you're looking for the right thing. I want to find a guy that knows football. And I think he does know football very well. I want to find a guy that can be a leader of men. I still don't know that quite yet about Nick Sirianni. We probably won't know that for a long period of time. But I also wanted to find a guy that's going to help push our team and to develop our players. I think he is a guy that can help develop players. So, I mean, there were a couple things that we continue to hear that I've talked to other people about Nick Sirianni that I like. But that leader of men, which is a big-time quality, one of the things that I think Doug Peterson did a very good job of holding the team accountable, getting guys to play for him at all times. And we have not seen if Nick Sirianni can be that. And listen, we won't know that until the season starts.
So no, we won't. And I get that. And I'm trying not to go, like, bury the guy that he can't coach. I don't know that he can't coach. But, like, it's funny the way they flowed here. Because the Chip Kelly thing, he brought a lot of college ways in there, into this whole thing, college silliness. And so they go, no, he doesn't have enough emotional intelligence. This guy comes in here, like, happy the clown. And, like, he's perfect. Like, I don't get where they go. It's an unsettled dynamic that they present to me.
Well, at the end of the day, Mike, I mean, they went into this hiring process with a couple things in mind. I think the number one thing is making sure and ensuring that Howie Roseman was still the man in charge. Mm-hmm. So they had to find a coach that wouldn't disrupt that, and they were able to do that. And I think they also wanted to find a guy at the time that could work with Carson Wentz. And I think they found that as well. Unfortunately, Carson was out the door, too. So, I mean, it wasn't like they went to go find, in my opinion, did they find the best NFL head coach? Probably not. We haven't seen that yet. But did they find the best guy for their situation? Probably so, especially for the situation that Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie were looking for.
All right, here's the last thing. We're going to go to a break, but here's the last thing on the Sirianni thing. There's a major difference, and you know this more than anybody, the position coach and a head coach. So the position coach is there, and the position coach is going to, you know, kiss your rump a lot to pump you up, to keep the positivity going, because that's what they do. They have to show they really believe in you at that position. That's your position coach. And in a lot of ways, the liaison between the player and the head coach.
That's right.
So, like, I don't think people understand. He's got the perfect assistant coach mentality. Does that project to the HC?
It doesn't. But how could it if you've never been a head coach? If you've never been a play caller, if you've never been the head coach of an offense, the guy that everyone in the offense goes to, and you're not the head coach of the team. I mean, he's never been in that role. That's why I mentioned from the very beginning that he's still trying to find his way. Mm-hmm. At some point, he's going to say, okay, this is way too much rah, rah, rah. The guys don't respond to that. I mean, even when at the press conference, they had only practiced for 2 days. I mean, So at some point, he's going to find out, hey, this is not working with the guys. I have to go a different direction. Here's the hard part about NFL head coaching and head coaching in general. If you don't come out hard, if you don't come out as a hard-nosed coach, there's no way to get that back. You can never come back and be a hard-nosed coach because guys don't take you seriously. Mm-hmm. So you have to be strategic in the way that you present yourself from the very beginning. And unfortunately, I think the guys have seen a side of him that I don't know that it's going to be easy to go be that hard-nosed football coach afterwards.
Well, maybe the hard nose isn't necessary. We can only see. All right, let's take a break. We have a couple open lines. We want to talk to B. West here about some football issues or whatever's on your mind. We're still talking Sixers today. We're actually talking frozen pizza today. You a fan of the frozen pizza, Brian?
Long time ago. I haven't had one in a very long time, but when I was young, I liked those Celeste. You know those Celeste pizzas? Those little round ones that you put the cheese on yourself. It was a good pizza when you're hungry and you're young.
Well, you got a young kid, so I got to think you got to go back to the frozen pizza because that seems to be a convenient for the kids. Right?
The kids love the pizza bites. They love the little small pizza bites, the little round ones.
The Totino's pizza bites.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's what they love.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.